So as I said, this morning we sang Count Your Blessings, See What God Has Done. And this morning we're going to speak about Great Is Thy Faithfulness. In the past we have spoken about the infinite greatness of God, how He cares for us, the awesome privilege of friendship with Jesus, and also the comforting knowledge that God can't forget. Not only does God not forget us, but He is awesomely faithful to us. This morning I would like to touch on the topic of the faithfulness of the Lord. If we look back in time, we will see that the faithfulness of God in our lives has been great. I think we can all say that the Lord has always been there for us. Do you ever tell somebody in need, I'll be there for you? Well, God does. God says that too, and He means it. Maybe we didn't get everything that we wanted or didn't get it yet, but still, God has been very faithful to us. If we didn't get everything we wanted, God knows what is best. And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but there are things I wanted in life, I really wanted them, and God said no. Then I look back a couple of years later and think, good thing He said no. So even no is God's faithfulness and compassion. The faithfulness of God is beyond comparison. It reaches and affects every area of our lives. It reaches all our sorrows and deepest hurts. It frees our minds from worry and lifts our spirits. It heals our sicknesses. It has taken us through all the trials and difficulties. It is there for all our crises. Jesus has proven Himself as the Christ of every crisis. God's faithfulness has answered all our prayers. It has redeemed us from the eternal flames of hell. God's faithfulness will never fail us. And as Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, great is His faithfulness. Considering our faults and the many times that we have failed the Lord, He still remains faithful to us. God doesn't give up on us. And sometimes I've thought to myself, I don't know how You put up with me, God. And He does. That's love. So considering our faults and the many times that we have failed the Lord, He still remains faithful to us. There's a line in the song, You've never failed me like I failed You. In His faithfulness, Jesus tells you, I'll be there for you, and He means it. How many times has the Lord been there for you? Has He ever failed, or He has never failed or forgotten us and never will. So encouraging. During this message, I will attempt to discuss some examples of the faithfulness that we find in the Word of God. If you could turn with me to Genesis chapter 13, and we will begin with verse 14. Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 14 to 18. Beginning at verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you, and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about in the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. The Lord made this promise to Abraham more than once. Let's turn a few pages ahead to Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Genesis chapter 17 and verses 1 to 8. Genesis chapter 17, and beginning at verse 1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, and he's our father. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, and saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So it's important to note that the Lord spoke to Abraham about an everlasting covenant. It is also important that the land which would be given to Abraham and his descendants was referred to as an everlasting possession. Israel has had a turbulent history, and for hundreds of years, the country did not exist. If you remember, the Romans took it over around the year 70 AD, I believe it was through General Titus. The Romans took it over, wasn't formed again until 1948. So Israel has had a turbulent history, but God in his great faithfulness and remembering his promise to Abraham caused Israel to become a nation again, as we said, in 1948. The promise was made to Abraham, I checked the history of this, about 1900 BC. And Israel became a nation again, as we said, in 1948. These dates tell us that after 3,850 years, about that, the Lord still remembers his promise to Abraham and remained faithful to it. That's faithfulness. That's God's faithfulness. A span of 3,850 years, roughly, and God is still faithful. Faithful to the land of Israel. They were established again. And you know what? All the wars going on over there from surrounding nations and all the missiles that were fired during the past week or so, they're not going to win. And you say, how? How are they not going to win? A little country like that. Well, if you remember, those of you like me who are old enough to remember the seven-day war with Egypt, between Egypt and Israel, and the Egyptians came up to a mountain in their attack on Israel, and they could not come down the mountain. They came up, the Egyptian soldiers came up to the mountain and could not come down the other side of the mountain. They just stood there. Well, the Lord opened someone's eyes on the Israeli side. This gives me the chills. They saw a hand on top of the mountain. And God was stopping the Egyptian army from coming over the mountain and continuing their invasion of Israel. God stopped them. That's how God will be faithful to his promise. If he says something, he means it. God's promises are yes and amen, and his faithfulness is beyond measure and phenomenal. God, in his great faithfulness, will always remember his promises. If a parent could keep a promise to a child, how much more God will keep faithful to his promises? And his promises are all over the Bible. Just think what the Lord said, chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And he means it. When God promises something, he's not fooling around. He means it. And he's faithful to all his promises. A beautiful description of God's faithfulness is given in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What about another example of faithfulness? This is a short reading, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I think this is really impressive. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You see how faithful the Lord is and always is. First Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 10 to 19. If you remember, the man Elkanah had two wives. One was Peninnah and the other one was Hannah. So when you read over here in verse 10, it says she, it's referring to Hannah. If you remember, Hannah had no children and Peninnah had children. She, Hannah, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and the razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Eli was the priest at this time. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, no, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Verse 19, then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah and had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her, his faithfulness. The Lord remembered her. Now, as we said, Hannah was not able to have children. She was bitterly provoked by a rival who was believed to be the other wife of Elkanah, Peninnah, who had children. As we read, in her sorrow and distress, Hannah wept bitterly before the Lord and made a vow that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord. And in verse 19, as we read, and the Lord remembered her. God, in his great faithfulness, remembered her and gave her a son, Samuel, who, as we know, became one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. I mean, two books are named after him, 1 and 2 Samuel. The Lord was so faithful to Hannah that he gave her five more children. She asked for one. Says, Lord, forgive me, a son. You'll make me so happy. And God, with that great, great heart of his, didn't give her one. He gave her five more children. She had six children. She dedicated one son to the Lord, and God gave her five more. Three sons, three more sons, and two daughters. With God, you never lose. He is faithful. God knows our sorrows, our hurts, our distresses. He hears our cries and remembers them. Psalm 56, verse 8 tells us that God puts our tears in a bottle. He reads and sees the reason for our tears and then answers our prayers. When you cry to God, you know what? Those tears go up to heaven. They don't stay on your face. In spiritual sense, those tears go up to heaven. And then at the throne of God, the purpose of those tears is read. And then God will send down an angel. Maybe the Lord Jesus will come and answer your request according to his will. God, and it's written, Psalm 56, verse 8, God puts our tears in a bottle. Where are these bottles? They're in heaven. So God reads the meaning of your tears. He is our most faithful Heavenly Father and never forgets our prayers and our tears. What a God we have. What about the faithfulness of Jesus? Another short reading, Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 to 27. Matthew 14 and verses 22 to 27. I'm going to read this in the King James Version, but you can follow along in the NAS. This bit of information comes out a little bit better in the King James Version. Matthew 14, verses 22 to 27. And straightway, or immediately, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Okay. So the fourth watch of the night would be like between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. We can see how Jesus was faithful to his disciples. From the mountain, Jesus saw the disciples in trouble on the sea and went to them and commanded the sea to be still. And same thing with us. The troubled sea represents trouble in our lives, and God sees when there's trouble. Don't think he misses anything. He knows everything about us. He knows everything we're going through. And he saw disciples that were troubled on the sea. Notice that while the Lord was praying, notice that the Lord was praying while the disciples were tossed in the sea. In his great faithfulness, Jesus still prays and intercedes for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us, Therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And Jesus approached the disciples walking on the water. And the troubled sea, as we said, represents trouble in our lives. As humans, we fear stormy waters. We may fear the stormy waters of sickness, financial difficulties, a job loss, difficulty in relationship, or whatever causes us difficulty in life. But Jesus walks on the troubled waters of our lives. His feet on the troubled water shows us that everything is under his control. While we're getting upset and we're in the storm, you're not getting around it, we're in the storm, Jesus walks on it. Everything is under his control. That's the significance of him walking on the water. The water is under his feet. Everything was under his control. And he can command the troubled waters to be still in our lives. Everything is under his control and must respond to his command. Nothing that was created, or I should say everything that was ever created, has to respond to the voice of Jesus. From a great planet, a great star, to a tiny virus, has to respond to the name of Jesus. In his faithfulness, Jesus commanded the sea to be calm. The Lord is faithful during storms in our lives. He does not forget us. He sees our ship on the stormy sea. Waves may beat into the ship as it takes on water, but Jesus will never let the ship sink. Now, sometimes we think, this is it. You know, you feel like your ship is going down. Jesus won't let that happen. He'll never let that happen. We see the Lord's faithfulness in life's storms. Don't be fooled, ever fooled, to think that you're ever alone in your ship. Never. Jesus is always with you and will never leave you alone. He is always faithful to us. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 tells us that one of the names of Jesus is faithful and true, and no one is faithful like him. No one can ever be as faithful to us as Jesus is. He is the essence of fidelity in our lives and can always be trusted. There's not a moment in your life where Jesus can't be trusted. We can describe the faithfulness of Jesus as being in the shape of a cross with him on it. The solution to all our problems, our cares, all our needs, all our sorrows and hurts, our worries, our sicknesses, the solution to everything in our lives can be found at the foot of the cross. I mean, the cross is a powerhouse beyond our wildest imagination, because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. What about the resurrection of Lazarus? Just one more reading. You can turn with me if you want to John chapter 11. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we know the story. But John chapter 11, I'm just going to read verses 1 to 6. John chapter 11 and verses 1 to 6. I'll give you a moment to get there. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, then he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. We know the rest of the event. Jesus stays 2 days longer where he was, and then goes over to Bethany, where Lazarus, as we know, had died and had been dead 4 days. What does this tell us? See, there was a delay in time. Jesus found out that Lazarus was very sick, and he waits 2 more days. Then he goes to Bethany. A delay occurred, and we know why. We know what Jesus did. But what does it tell us? you may have prayed very seriously to the Lord and have not yet received an answer, a delay. And it seems as though God is not paying attention to your prayers. You may think, why bother praying anymore? I know I felt like this. Hope I'm not the only one. I actually thought, why bother praying anymore? But in his great faithfulness, God will always answer your prayer, even if it means raising the dead. You say, well, that's just for biblical times. No, it's not. If you remember, the late Reinhard Bonnke was having a crusade in Africa. Daniel Calendra took over his ministry. If you're familiar with the ministry of Daniel Calendra, that's the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke. But Reinhard Bonnke was having a crusade in Africa. And while he was there, someone died, was clinically dead. Reinhard Bonnke prayed over him, and I guess surrounding people, came back to life. So God is still raising the dead. Don't think it's just for biblical times. But there may be a delay, but Jesus is always faithful. There was a delay, as we know. Jesus stood 2 days longer in Bethany, and wherever it was, probably Jerusalem or wherever, and then he went over to see Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead at that time, as we know. There was a delay, but Jesus is always faithful. Don't be fooled by the delays. That's the point this morning, one of the points. Don't be fooled by the delays. God is always faithful to us. In his awesome faithfulness, God will never forget us. And God will never forget us. He can't forget us. He just can't. He loves us too much. He can't forget us. What about the faithfulness of the Lord in our lives? Looking back in our lives, we can see the faithfulness of God. How many times has Jesus healed us? Hello? I think we could all raise our hand on that one. The doctor may have given his diagnosis with an x-ray or some other form of imaging for the proof of a condition. They look at the x-ray. Yeah, you've got what, no, whatever. You got pneumonia. You have cancer. The patient may have been terminal. Then the Lord, who gives his final diagnosis, heals us, and the next image shows nothing. These aren't just nice words from the altar. This has happened. The next image shows nothing. The doctor stares at the image, and medical science can't explain it. It was the touch of the faithful master's hand. It's what happens when Jesus comes. Jesus has been in many hospital rooms and surgery rooms. He controlled the doctor's hands and all the surgery techniques to make sure that his child lived. Now, we saw my neighbor over here, Eli. He is a surgical assistant, and he knows what goes on in his surgery room. And the Lord controls the doctor's hands and all the surgery techniques to make sure that his child lived. He had his eye on the level of anesthesia. Some people fear anesthesia. I've heard people say, oh, I'm afraid to undergo anesthesia. Supposedly they overdo it. You trust God for it. He's got his eye on the level of anesthesia. You think it's just the anesthesiologist looking at your body weight and then determining what level of anesthesia to give you? God is in control. And you ever see the monitors in our rooms? God was watching our blood pressure, our heart, and our breathing rate. So if we look at the monitors, you look at the waveforms, the blood pressure, the heart rate, the breathing rate. If we're looking at them, do you think Jesus isn't looking at them? And I used to watch them when my mother was in the hospital, or my father, see all the wave lines and so forth, and you want them to be okay. If we're looking at it, and you think Jesus isn't looking at it? He's watching the waveforms, making sure everything is okay. He's making sure that the anesthesia doesn't take us too far down. because if it did, we would die. But Jesus is watching that. Great is his faithfulness. In his faithfulness, God said that he would supply all our needs. How many times has he stretched our dollar? How many times has he given us our wants aside from our needs? We said we wish we could have something, but you can't afford it, and somehow you get it. How many times has the Lord delivered you from trials and temptations? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Only a faithful God could say these words. In his faithfulness, God said that he would not permit a temptation or a trial to be more than we could handle. Keep that in mind when you're going through a trial or going through a bad pain for some reason, and it's really getting rough. Keep in mind on this scriptural, God will never permit more than you could take. He is a faithful, loving God. How many times has the Lord prevented us from getting into an accident? He made sure that the brakes worked properly. Or maybe he sent an angel to stop a condition, a collision, from happening. Maybe he caused you to take an alternate route so that you would not be involved in an accident. I heard someone tell the story that we're driving down the highway and this person all of a sudden started braking, putting foot on the brake when she shouldn't have done it. And down the road, a person was running across a highway. She was braking before time for not knowing why. God saw what was up ahead. He made sure that we don't get into an accident. Great is his faithfulness. Then there's God's answer of no to our prayers. That also demonstrates his faithfulness. If the Lord doesn't want you to have something, you can be sure it's for a very good reason. God doesn't answer no just to refuse you. He sees something down the road that is not good or may even be detrimental to you. If he says no to your request, you won't want what you asked for anyway, and you won't be happy with it. And one day you may thank God for saying no. Even the Lord's answer of no shows his faithfulness to us. God knew the path that we should take in life from before we were born. He faithfully watches and guides us with the best navigation system that ever existed. If he could guide birds thousands of miles through pathless air, he can guide us from the beginning of our lives right to the entrance of heaven. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus." He is a wonderful, unfailing friend. This morning we want to say thank you, Lord, for your great and awesome faithfulness and for being the absolutely best friend that we ever had. They don't come like Jesus.